Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon. Touchdown, but the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Aaron Murray. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Drew Butler. Aaron is at Aaron Murray 11. And head on over to puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. It's got our picks up there, our blog, our merch, our YouTube page, which is just continuing to grow and grow. Once we hit 1,000 subscribers, we're like 100 subscribers off, Aaron. We got to give something away. What do we want to give away? Something signed, signed picture, signed hat, signed something. Whatever
sign
it is.
Something, go golfing with the Butler and Murray boys. You know I'm all about playing some golf. So if we can go out there and take someone out golfing with us.
Okay.
Let's do it.
You want to put that on the table right now?
Plus, my game is super rusty, so I need to get back on the links and start swinging around a little bit more. So,
all right, Aaron Murray has just laid that out.
As long as you're hosting at the Athletic Club.
For our 1,000th subscriber on YouTube, you're coming golfing with Aaron and I. That is not a joke. It's being announced right here on Punt and Pass. It's week 11. Things are getting crazy. It's almost Thanksgiving. College football regular season's winding down, and we just laid it out. The faster we get to 1,000 subscribers, the sooner you get to get on the golf course with Aaron Murray and I. I love it, Aaron. Head on over to puntandpass.com. I'll add that onto the website this weekend, so check out puntandpass.com. This episode of Punt and Pass is, of course, presented by our awesome friends over at Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today if you haven't already, or go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. We had tons of signups last week because there was so much going on in the world of sports, and there still is so much going on. NHL is back. NBA is back. College football, of course. NFL, the PGA Tour is in Houston this week. You can do cross-board entries on Prize Picks. You can win 10x your money. Mm-hmm. Use the promo code PUNT. Prize Picks is the best, Aaron.
Dude, college basketball.
College basketball. I totally forgot.
Holy smoke. It's so weird. I mean, we were talking about that on my SEC show the other day. And, you know, we're so ingrained with football, football, football.
Yeah.
And I have to talk about basketball, obviously, because it's part of the SEC. We can't just forget about it just because we are a football-heavy conference. But it's going to be another good year of SEC basketball for those listeners. Obviously, Alabama, Kentucky had a tough loss on Thursday night, but that's going to be a good basketball team. I do feel for Georgia, though. Freaking 8 transfers before the season started.
Yeah,
for
it's Green. Crazy.
That's tough. I mean, we saw the transfer portal in college football really hurt some teams, obviously helped some teams. Now we're starting to see it in basketball as well. We knew that was going to happen. I just want to know, because we saw some obviously crazy deals when it comes to college football players making money with this NIL, and I'm sure you are going to be more knowledgeable about this than I am. But basketball players tend to get more endorsements, tend to have bigger opportunities because of the fact they're not wearing a helmet.
Yeah,
people can recognize them a little bit more. What some of these basketball players are going to start making here as their season gets going is going to be really interesting to me.
Yeah, no doubt. You're totally right. You know, without wearing a helmet, they're much more visible to the casual fan, but there's also only 5 of them on the court for one team at one time. 10 guys are on the court if you're watching a basketball game. I think you're going to see a lot of companies that want to endorse entire teams, entire starting fives. They can make it rain on these kids for a lower price point than saying, hey, we want to sponsor 125 student athletes on a football team or whatever it may be. But you're already starting to see some big name companies dip into a lot of blue chip brand basketball teams and star players, knowing that they only have to play 1 year and they can go into the NBA, knowing that if they go deep into March Madness, all eyes are going to be on them. That's just the good in what NIL can do. And I think you're going to continue to see more and more of that happen as people get more comfortable with basketball season, college basketball season underway. So great point, Aaron Murray. College basketball season, week one, getting started. Champions Classic was on Tuesday night, like you mentioned. Kentucky did take the L there to Duke, I believe it was. But yeah, college basketball season. Aaron Murray, listen to him on SEC Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 374. Well, of course, you know, one of the things that has really become prevalent throughout our first five seasons of Punt and Pass, Aaron, is that whenever we record a podcast, I'm talking within an hour, humongous news breaks. It's like we text each other, oh my God, I just sent it off. There's no way we can redo it. And of course, I'm talking about on Monday night, we did a podcast, and then Todd Grantham gets fired at Florida. So does Florida's offensive line coach. But maybe more importantly to this podcast, Christian Robinson, our former teammate, your former roommate, a damn good dog, is going to be the acting defensive coordinator at the University of Florida. Look, Florida has four wins right now. They can win two out of their last three regular season games and become bowl eligible. This is a huge opportunity for our boy C-Rob, but Dan Mullen throwing in the towel. We expected this to happen after the season. That ass whooping against South Carolina, I believe, threw that into hyperdrive.
Well, a bunch of things. First, I want to say congratulations to C-Rob, man. I'll go back to our days playing NCAA football at the house on Talmadge. And he would scheme my ass up. He would scheme me up left and right, man. I couldn't score points on NCAA football. So he knows what he's doing. I'm excited. Hopefully, you know, he goes out there and does his thing. To me, they better win the last three games.
I know.
Based on who they have on their schedule. But you lose to South Carolina, you just don't know how committed that team is right now. The crazy, funniest thing, though, that when all this broke down, big, bad, scary Todd Grantham, the final nail in the coffin for Todd Grantham was Jason Brown. And people are like, who the hell is Jason Brown? Jason Brown was the quarterback for South Carolina that had never thrown a pass in FBS in his entire career.
Yeah.
Goes 14 to 24, 175, two touchdowns. He was the final nail in the coffin to end Todd Grantham's run at Florida. Who would have thunk it? Crazy stuff. I don't know if you saw today. I was scrolling through my Instagram feed. I had to show Sharon because I was like dying laughing. South Carolina made a video of one of their receivers.
Oh, yeah. It was wide open. That's a great video.
And they were just, for those who haven't seen it, go watch it. And they were showing like what he could have done during the time he was in the end zone wide open. He's like ordering Uber Eats, taking a nap, trimming the hedges, reading a book, watching Netflix. And I'm like, wow.
Troll.
Just completely trolling the Florida Gator defense. So, yeah, man, listen, Dan Mullen needed to do something.
He had to.
Because his butt is super hot right now. Someone had to be fired. We all kind of expected Grantham to be that guy. But to me, it's just still crazy that Jason Brown was the final.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. I mean, think about this, though. It feels like just a short couple of weeks ago where Florida almost beat Alabama in the swamp. Remember, they lost to Alabama 31-29. The next week, they take care of business against Tennessee. Tennessee, of course, is playing Georgia this weekend. They seem to be a feel-good story late in November or mid-November. And then here's what happens to Florida. They lose at Kentucky. Then they beat Vanderbilt. Who wouldn't? Then they have the debacle at LSU, giving up 49 points. Then they get a bye week. Then Georgia takes care of business in a big way, 34-7. Then last week, South Carolina and your boy Jason Brown, 40-17. So Florida has dropped three straight games. They have Samford coming up this weekend. You would hope they can win that football game. And then they're going to go to Columbia, Missouri on November the 20th. Watch out for the weather. Could be interesting there. You just don't know what to expect with this Florida Gator team. And then late the weekend after Thanksgiving, they got to go play against the Florida State Seminoles. That could be a wait and see what happens type game, because it could.
If Grantham loses to Florida State, I believe it's in Gainesville.
Mullen?
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. You said Grantham.
What happened?
But yes. Yes. Oh, I don't know. I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. Like, because you would expect them to be 6-5 heading into that game. I'll just give them the benefit of the doubt. They probably beat Samford. They probably beat Mizzou, depending on the weather in Columbia. But if they drop the ball against Florida State, you're right. The fingers are going to be turned around and pointed directly at Dan Mullen. No more deflecting, which he has done, which we expected him to do after the season. But look, man, when one guy goes down, it's next man up. And your boy C-Rob, our boy C-Rob, Hook at C-Rob, you got a big, big opportunity here in Gainesville to show that you know what's going on that defensive side of the ball. You know he's got some dudes on the defensive side. Put him in the right position. We think he will be able to. It'll be a really, really cool opportunity for Christian Robinson, former Georgia linebacker, to be the active defensive coordinator calling the defensive plays for an SEC defense. So, shout out to C-Rob. Pretty impressive, no doubt. We'll keep an eye on that. All right, let's step into the college football playoff rankings. It seems like these guys on the committee are literally just trying to do stuff to drum up some conversation throughout the week. And this week, it's the fact that Michigan, Aaron, is now ranked ahead of Michigan State. Keep in mind, 14 days ago, Michigan State beat Michigan after being down 16 points, coming back, and fighting for victory. How do they justify that? I have no idea. I watched Gary Barta, the committee, the rankings committee chairman, get on ESPN and like try to talk his way through what the committee was saying. It is such a joke. It is so dumb. I don't even know how we got to this point, but the fact that they could sit here and go, hey, you know what? Michigan's the more complete team. They're the better team than Michigan State. Although Michigan State beat them literally 2 weeks ago. It's shocking. I don't get it.
It makes no sense because they obviously, if you look at Ohio State, Oregon this year, a lot of people will say, okay, Ohio State, the better football team. But what happens on the football field matters. And they made that statement known in the first rankings last week that, hey, listen, we are going to take into account what actually happens on the football field. Because that, to me, that is the best way to determine who is better than someone else. And I think I heard, was it Cole Kublik a week ago say it the best? Okay, if we want to do a combine and have guys go out there and run the 40 and the 5-10-5, and if we want to have the quarterbacks do an accuracy competition to determine who the better team is, then we'll go do that. But if we're going to determine who the best football team is based on what actually is going on on a Saturday, then it's if you have that head-to-head win, that's all that should matter. If you have the same record, but you beat that team on a given Saturday,
it's 2 weeks
you
ago.
You should be ranked ahead of them. They made that statement clear when they put Oregon ahead of Ohio State.
Yes.
I don't understand how you backtrack now and jump Michigan over Michigan State a week later. And listen, Purdue, we all know it. Purdue's not a bad football team at all. Purdue's a team that has historically been really good, especially against top five teams. They've done it twice this year now. This is a competitive football team. It's not a great loss, but it's not a terrible loss. There is no way in hell Michigan State should be behind Michigan right now.
No way. They cannot justify it. I just don't understand how Gary Barta could get on television with a straight face on and try to legitimize how the committee came to that decision. And again, it goes back to what I have been saying for years. Televise the committee ranking meeting. Just put them on C-SPAN. Yeah. I don't care. I want to know what these people are saying.
ESPN Plus needs content. Let's go.
They do. They do. And another thing that I've been saying for years and years, Aaron, is how referees need to be held accountable. If anybody watched that insanity on Monday Night Football this past weekend with Tony Corrente hip-checking the Bears linebacker and then throwing a flag on him for taunting and then post-game saying that hip checking the player had nothing to do with the fight. It is crazy. These guys do whatever they want. They directly affect the outcome of games, and they have no repercussions. Simple as that. Televise the college football playoff committee ranking meetings and hold referees accountable. Literally, that ref should be fired. Like, he should be fired for how poorly he played.
You're
going
to be so excited in about 20 years when my son, Little Maddox, is going to be playing for the University of Georgia quarterback, and there's going to be robots out there calling the game.
I would love nothing more.
You're going to be so happy. No mistakes.
I would love nothing more.
Football. They're just going to have a bunch of drones flying above the players just making the calls when necessary.
Well, that's what needs to happen as long as it's accurate, and we'll hold the robots accountable as well.
Drew hates the referees as much as 70% of the world hates candy corn.
That's probably a really good comparison. And open invitation, as it has been for 5 years, for any referee to come on the podcast. I would love to talk. I know exactly what to say. Well, the game's fast-paced.
Slim at the Georgia practice. He does a good job.
Yeah, he does do a good job. Hey, it's fast-paced. It's hard. Things happen. They're bang-bang plays. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Because the players who actually play the game, it's pretty fast-paced for them as well. And if they mess up, they get cut. They get benched. They get fired. And refs just get to go to their steakhouse dinners on Saturday nights and then show up on Sunday, throw a couple flags around, collect paychecks, go back to their nice weekly day jobs, and then do it all over again. It's crazy. It's the largest sham in all of sports. I'm just telling you that right now. But the College Football Playoff Committee, again, they're just going to continue to do these things. It's like you watched last night during halftime or the two games of the Champions Classic. We're taping this on a Wednesday night, and you're sitting there going, of course they're going to do something that's going to have to draw some conversation, and that's what they decided to do. Every single team was slotted up one because Michigan State lost, and then, of course, they moved Michigan ahead of Michigan State, even though Michigan just lost to Michigan State. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right. Well, I mean, it just gets me fired up, man. I love college football.
I love the energy, Drew. I'm with you, man. I've seen enough. There's too many issues going on, and but I must say, though, some refs do get punished. I saw one ref last week get absolutely drilled in the head during an RPO. Quarterback pulled it, threw a slant, knocked.
Was it on purpose?
What's that?
I said, was it on purpose?
Most likely, I would think so. If Drew was playing quarterback, he would definitely pelt some referees.
Oh, classic, classic. Hey, you need a football, though. If you want to throw a football around, probably one that you wouldn't want to throw around, though.
Yeah.
Children's Healthcare of Atlanta just launched a brand new initiative to help out Touchdowns for Children's and the Legacy Fund. You can pay $250. That's it. $250 and get a mystery signed UGA football. Children's and Aflac will match your donation. So you pay $250, $500 goes to charity, and you're going to get a football, Georgia signed autographed football by some greats. Aaron Murray, yep. I think Stafford, Stinchcomb, Eric Zier, Coach Rick. There's so many. Go check it out.
Listen, I'll list the lane for you, the list for you right now. First off, you said it, Drew. $250, mystery football. And we have a chance to raise $125,000.
Yeah, it's awesome.
For Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I mean, such a great cause. And you listed some of the guys. We also got Nick Chubb, Sony Michelle.
Love it.
We got Kirby.
Oh, signing nice.
Some footballs. We got Herschel signing some footballs.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
I mean, we got some chances to get some pretty sweet footballs. Shock, Greeny.
Yep.
I'm trying. I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot of big dogs coming out there that support Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And we've already sold in the first couple of days 100 footballs.
Yeah, it's huge.
Only 150 left.
150 left. And keep in mind, everybody signed the same amount of footballs. So it's not like, you know, there's 100 that are signed by one guy and then just two signed by some of the big names Aaron just read off. Everybody signed the same amount of footballs. Yeah. Total mystery. Raffle draw, you buy a ball, they're going to go in there, dig it out, and send it straight to you.
All by UJ legends. So
awesome.
Great Christmas gift, man. Holidays come right around the season. One, you're helping a good charity. Two, you got a great gift to give yourself. Yeah. I'm going to buy a football. I'm hoping to get someone good.
I love it.
I may buy a couple footballs.
That's what I say. I might do it as well. I might do it as well.
I got some people that love the Bulldogs. Would love a signed football from one of those guys on this list. So jump on it. Check our social media pages out.
Yep.
You'll get the link and shoot. man, let this thing roll in the next week or two. We might have to add some more footballs going forward.
Absolutely. Check it out on our social media pages, at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at Aaron Murray 11. Let's dig into some Prize Picks. Prize Picks is going to be a great weekend for Prize Picks. Aaron, you are heading back out west, Fresno State, I believe, again. Or yep. No, excuse me, yep. Colorado Springs.
State, Air Force.
Colorado State against Air Force. I knew that, and I corrected myself. And I'm going to be active on Prize Picks this weekend, picking up some steam. Like what I'm doing. Some great games this weekend in the Big Ten, in the SEC. There's also a really good game in the Big 12 at noon, which we'll touch on here in just a second with Punt, Pass, and Pick. But let's start with some QBs, Aaron. I love breaking down some quarterbacks. And let's start with that Big 12 game. That's Oklahoma taking on Baylor. Again, Oklahoma still ranked number 8 in the college football playoff rankings. They are undefeated, but they're finding their stride with Caleb Williams. Oklahoma's 3-1 against the spread. In their last four, Caleb Williams, 249.5 passing yards on Prize Picks this weekend, over or under?
Woo, it's a good Baylor defense. I'm sure they're going to be ticked off after last week's loss. But Oklahoma, man, coming off a bye week, they're on the outside looking in, still at, I believe, what, 8 in the playoff rankings right now. You know those guys are just furious, the fact that they're not getting any respect. And honestly, they haven't really earned it. But they're going to have a chance to finish the season off and earn some respect based on their schedule. So I think they come in off the bye week, a lot of trust in Caleb Williams. He's continuing to develop. The playbook's continuing to develop about what he can and can't do. So all that being said, I'm going to take the over with Caleb Williams. The dude's an absolute stud.
Yeah, I like the over here, too, for Caleb Williams. I mean, you mentioned it. Oklahoma has got to start making some statements. This right here, taking on number 13-ranked Baylor in Waco, could be that to really kind of catapult them into this latter part of the season. Of course, they do also have to still play Oklahoma State. So watch out. Oklahoma continues to take care of business, wins the Big 12. They're going to find themselves right there in the college football playoff. I need the quick quarterback breakdown, though, of a noon SEC game, Aaron. I think this one's kind of flying under the radar a little bit, especially after how Auburn looked a week ago against that really good Texas A&M defense. But Mississippi State heading to Auburn to take on the Tigers. Right now, Bo Nix, 219.5 passing yards, and Will Rogers, who's really kind of finding his stride at Mississippi State, 297.5 passing yards. So 219.5 for Bo Nix, 297.5 for Will Rogers.
I'm going to go under for Will Rogers. I'm going to go over for Bo Nix. I think really? This is a get right game for Auburn at home. There's still there's a big chance Auburn can still make the SEC championship game. You know, I don't know if we're picking this game or not, but
we are.
I'm really interested to see what happens with Texas A&M and Ole Miss. I think that is a upset in the making right now. A&M is a 2.5-point favorite. So if A&M loses and Auburn's able to win out and beat Alabama, they're going to Atlanta. So there's still a path for those guys. I think that is the message that Harsin is preaching to that football team. And obviously it starts this weekend versus a very good Mississippi State team that has played well this season. Probably should have won last week if they had a damn field goal kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, it goes to my point.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need field goal kickers? Do we not need field goal kickers?
you just want to get rid of the position? You just want to get rid of the position.
Just get rid of the position.
Okay.
Just put the ball
2-point conversions. We
don't need kickoffs. So that being said, I'll take Auburn at home with a big comeback, or not comeback, but bounce back victory.
Yeah, Bo Nix.
I think Bo Nix plays well.
All right, Bo Nix over 219.5 passing yards. Will Rogers under 297.5 passing yards. And then let's go to a little Tennessee Georgia look. Stetson Bennett, 196.5 passing yards. Hendon Hooker, 170.5 passing yards. I might go over Hendon Hooker.
I'm going to go over Hendon too.
I think this is too.
Because you know they're going to throw the ball from the very first snap
exactly
to the very last snap. Like, they are just going to continue to test Georgia's defensive backfield and see what they can do. I don't even think they're going to mess at all with running the football unless it's Hendon Hooker pulling it down and running it himself if no one's open. So over Hendon Hooker. And then what was Stetson?
196.5.
I'll go over Stetson too. I just think Tennessee's defense is going to be
gassed.
I mean, those dudes are going to be gassed. They get over 100 plays last week. In that victory versus Kentucky, I just think they're going to be heavy legs. I think Georgia's continuing to get healthy at the receiving position. I think they want to continue to work that part of their offense. They're stressing it. and Stetson's going to play all four quarters, most likely at least three quarters. I don't anticipate, you know, JT coming in like he did last week versus Missouri. So I take the over on both those quarterbacks in this game.
All right, one more I'm going to throw at you because you just mentioned Hendon Hooker. His rushing prop, 19.5 rushing yards for Hendon Hooker. Do you think he goes over 19.5 rushing yards?
I'm going to go under because obviously sacks go against the quarterback. So, yes, he may have some big runs. I think he's also going to get sacked quite a bit. We know how good Georgia's defensive line is. And all it takes is like three sacks for minus like 20 yards. And that just can just destroy your rushing yards for the game. So I think that's going to hurt him. So I'll take the under for rushing yards for him.
All right. I'm going to go over 59.5 rushing yards for Zamir White. I love these kind of
This might be
games.
The first time we actually say over for a running back for Georgia.
Yeah. I think these are the games right here where late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, they just start handing that ball up to Zamir.
I think in the first quarter he's going to get over it possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, go watch the game last week versus Kentucky. They wanted nothing to do with that rushing attack for Kentucky. No tackling at all. It was pretty piss poor, honestly. I know they're going to be, you know, somewhat excited. 3:30 CBS game of the week. In the SEC.
Yeah, big spot. Exciting spot for Tennessee, for sure.
Yeah, it's a huge spot for Tennessee. And then, shoot, man, they've earned it. I honestly
agree with that.
I was texting a buddy of mine today. He was on the staff a few years ago. I was like, you know, I kind of secretly am not this weekend, obviously, but somewhat rooting for Tennessee because it's good to see Tennessee play well. I mean, they're a brand within the SEC that if Tennessee's a good football team,
it's great for the game of college football.
It brings the SEC up. It brings the SEC East up. We need some more competition on the East because the West right now is completely crapping on the East side of this conference. So, but all that being said, for how excited they are to be in this matchup against Georgia, to be at home, to have most likely a sold out crowd, they're going to be beat up. They're still not very deep on defense. Those guys are going to get worn out. I think to me, this would be, if I had a lock of the week when it comes to price pick, it would be Zamir White.
Wow. All right. Love it. Love it. Over 59.5 rushing yards for Zamir White. Here's the rundown.
No, I went 2-0 my lock of the week last week. So your boy's feeling it right now.
He's on fire right now, people. He is on fire right now. There's no doubt about it. Here is your Prize Picks rundown for week 11. Download the Prize Picks app. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. Caleb Williams. Aaron and I both say over 249.5 passing yards. Aaron says over Bo Nix, 219.5 passing yards. Under Will Rogers, Mississippi State, under 297.5 passing yards. Hendon Hooker, Aaron and I say over 170.5 passing yards. Stetson Bennett, Aaron and I say over 196.5 passing yards. Hendon Hooker, 19.5 rushing yards, Aaron says under, and the lock of the week on Prize Picks, Zamir White, over 59.5 rushing yards. Head on over to Prize Picks, Daily Fantasy Simplified, 10x your money. PrizePicks.com, use the promo code PUNT.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
All right, Aaron, you just talked about your picks. You are looking really good. You did go 2-0 last week on your locks. Now, you can do whatever you want with your locks. Do you want to throw two more picks out there this week? That is completely up to you. You're 5-6 on the season, so you could get over 500 if you go throw two more out there and go 2-0. But you're 28-22 against the spread. I'm 27-23 against the spread. 3-8 on my flip the field free pick, which is just atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious. And before we get into punt, pass, and pick, I feel guilty right now. Because it's your birthday, and I haven't even told you happy birthday yet. Are you 32 now?
Whoa, simmer down. I'm not as old as my wife just yet. I'm 31 years old.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, friend. And what are you wearing? I mean, people, please watch the YouTube. You are at a wedding, and you are pulling this off. I'm not sure what the proper name of it is, but I believe you're at an Indian wedding, and you look the part. What is that called again?
I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling myself in this outfit, and I got another one I'll be rocking tomorrow. They get after it. We're having a good time. It's a two-day event.
Right.
All day for 2 days. Man, it's a good time. So, yeah.
What's that thing called? What's it called?
What is, Sharon, do you know what this is called, my get up?
I don't, but tonight was the Mendy, and so it was like the henna.
Today was the Mendy. Sharon got her, you know, her hand tattooed, and I got my get up right now. I'm feeling Aladdin-esque at the moment. So, yeah.
Are I you love looking it.
I have no idea what it's called. I just know it's Indian attire.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I don't know. You look great, though. You're pulling it off. You look awesome.
It's fun. It's a good time. I'm going to be absolutely exhausted. So, you know, find a way to somehow sleep before I call that game this weekend.
There you go. All right, let's do this. Pump, pass, and pick. It's week 11. Let's start in the Big 12. Number 8, Oklahoma heading to Waco to take on number 13, Baylor. This game's at noon on Fox. Oklahoma's a 5.5-point favorite. I think Oklahoma's finding their stride. I think Oklahoma knows that they have to start making some statements in order to leapfrog a lot of teams that are ahead of them in the college football playoff rankings. Lincoln Riley clearly all in on Caleb Williams. Save the debacle against Kansas a couple weeks ago. Oklahoma's looked really good. I'm going to lay the 5.5 here. I think Oklahoma's simply a better team than Baylor. This game would probably be College Game Day. We'll probably have a lot more juice if Baylor did not blow it against TCU a week ago. I like Oklahoma here, and quite frankly, I like them in a big way. I'll lay the 5.5.
I think you gave me a great set early in the week, Drew, on one of our other shows. Oklahoma is 3-1 against the spread last four games.
Yep.
I agree, man. They are getting their stride. Coming off a bye week, Baylor with a horrific loss last week to TCU. I mean, there's no way you should lose to TCU, especially with all the coaching issues they have there. So I think Oklahoma comes in exactly what you kind of hit on. They're pissed off, man. Yeah. They're undefeated, and they have, what, four teams ranked ahead of them right now with losses?
It's crazy.
So, you know, and plus a group of five team. They have a group of five team.
Yeah.
They have Michigan, Michigan State, Alabama. So what, three teams with losses and Ohio State. So yeah, four teams with losses and a group of five team ranked ahead of an undefeated 9-0 Oklahoma Sooner team right now.
And this
that doesn't scream just I'm going to just destroy this Baylor football team this weekend, especially off a bye, fresh legs. Baylor got embarrassed last week. I don't know what else does. So I'm with you, man. I'm taking Oklahoma. I think they absolutely dominate this game. Make a huge statement and start working their way up those rankings.
And it's a different football team with Caleb Williams than what we saw earlier in the season with Spencer Rattler. So always keep that in mind. This is a different football team. Now it's time for them to start making some statements. It starts this weekend. Lay that 5.5 with Oklahoma. I think this is a sneaky good game in the SEC. It's at noon on ESPN. Mississippi State heading to Auburn to take on the number 17th ranked Auburn Tigers. Auburn's a 5.5-point home favorite. The total is 50, Aaron. You're expecting a big bounce back week from Bo Nix and this Auburn offense. They have a lot to play for. Can Will Rogers and Mike Leach, I know they've been stringing together some wins as of late, can they scare War Eagle on the Plains? Or are you just all in on Brian Harsin, Mike Bobo, Derek Mason, Bo Nix, Tank Bigsby, and the crew to be able to make this Iron Bowl really interesting?
I think Auburn wins the game, but I think Mississippi State keeps it closer. So I'll take Mississippi State in this one. I just think Mississippi State has a really good defense. Obviously, they've proven that they are one of the better offenses in this conference. You know, the kicker issue is a problem. I mean, they should be 6-3 right now. Missed three field goals last week in that loss versus Arkansas. But I really like this Bulldog football team. I think they play well on both sides. I think they can keep this close. I think they make it a field goal game. And plus, Auburn still has their issues on offense. We saw it last week versus A&M. And I know this is at home. They only got to deal with the 12th man. Mississippi State is not as good as A&M is defensively, but they're still very good. I don't trust the receivers quite yet for Auburn. So they win it at home. Bo Nix has a bounce-back game, but they keep it close. So I will take Mississippi State.
You bring up a lot of great points, and I was loving Mississippi State before you just came in and said this game's going to be close. Here's why I love Mississippi State. Auburn probably wins by a field goal because Mississippi State does not have a kicker. Let me just say one thing about the kicker. The kickers at Mississippi State have awful form. I mean, I watched the game, and he shanks.
What are they doing wrong?
Pull, hooks that ball left. The game-winning field goal, which is the kicker who Mike Leach subbed into the game because the starting kicker had missed two field goals earlier. Some of the worst form I've ever seen. Okay, I'll liken it to a golf swing, right? If you slice...
Don't you dare, don't you bring up my golf
swing. I won't. I'll save you. I'll save you. If you slice a golf ball, if anybody who knows what a golf swing is supposed to look like, you can diagnose it pretty quickly. Wow, he's coming way over the top of the ball. The club face is shut. It's getting way right. Like, no chance, okay? You could easily diagnose a really bad hook or a really bad slice. This kicker from Mississippi State, who tried to kick that game-winning field goal, and he, like, knuckleballed it, and it just duck-hooked left. He doesn't follow through. He whips his hips way left. He picks his head up. It's like worse than high school form. I don't know if it was because he was nervous. I don't know if it was because the moment got too big for him. I don't know if that's just what he practices, and sometimes he gets lucky and hits a pure football. But there is not a kicker problem at Mississippi State. There is a fundamental problem with the specialist positions at Mississippi State. Hire somebody to help these kids out because it was not good, and it ain't going to get better. You're not going to find some guy who's going to walk onto the football team and just fix what's a fundamental problem. So that would be my two cents, okay? You got to have some technique to be able to put the ball through the uprights. What am I saying this for? Because I'm going to lay 5.5 with Auburn. You like Mississippi State with those points, and you made such a good case, I'm just going to fade you. So there you go.
Wow.
I'm going to take
– this is kind of like your payback for me – going against you last week when it came to Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Go Bo Nix. Go Bo Nix. I'm on Auburn laying the 5.5. Aaron says, take the points. This will be a close game. I put this game on here because Purdue are the de facto giant killers in the Big Ten right now. Number 19, Purdue is heading up to Columbus to take on number 4, Ohio State. This game is at noon on ESPN. Three games at noon right in your face on Saturday.
This is a 3:30 game, Drew.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Okay, so Purdue, Ohio State is 3:30. Yes, it is. Thank you for correcting me. I have it wrong in the show notes here. I do take notes, people. That is a mistake on my fault. Number 19, Purdue at number 4, Ohio State, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. Not even ESPN. Totally wrong there. Ohio State, a 20.5-point favorite. The total here is 62. Keep in mind, Purdue knocked off number 2 Iowa at Iowa. They just beat number 3 Michigan State last week. Now they're taking on number 4. Can they just continue to chop the knees out of the Big Ten heavyweights?
I don't think they win this football game, but I will take Purdue
20
with the
and
points.
A half. That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. Plus, I'm bringing out the weather here in this game. There is a chance of snow.
Okay.
In Columbus. I think it's like a high of 45, lows like in the 20s, 30s. So it's going
to
be
ugly. So once that sun goes down, what you're saying, because I mean, I like to think I'm pretty good at school or that I was pretty good in school. If it's 45, I don't think it's going to be snowing.
No,
is that
but
correct?
I'm saying that it's in the 20s to start the day. So there's a chance of being snow early.
Okay.
And being sloppy on the field afterwards when that thing starts to melt and it's just nasty outside. Then it starts to turn into that just ugly piece.
Yes.
I'd rather play in the snow than that rain that's
like of course. Yeah.
So before you start getting on me about not knowing what the freezing point is in the world, I do know that. That's why I said
okay, that's good. That's good.
But I just don't – you know, when I watch Ohio State this year, they don't have that killer mentality. They don't. They don't have that mentality of, hey, we're on top, we're winning this football game, and we're about to put our foot on your throat.
Yeah.
It just ends you. Like, they don't. They just let teams stick around. They just can't do it. So I think Purdue has the confidence. They've taken on the shoulders of being the team in this conference and across the country that is not afraid to go on the road or even afraid to play top 5 teams. Like, they just don't give a damn.
Yep.
So I'm going to take Purdue in this game. That's way too many points, crappy weather, and an Ohio State team that just does not have that killer instinct.
All common knowledge would say – take the 20.5. Purdue plays really well against top-ranked teams. They've proven that they can, you know, take a punch and swing
don't
right
out,
back.
Don't outthink yourself.
I know, but what I'm saying is the sharp play to lay the 20 and a half with Ohio State. I think you bring up a fantastic point. The Ohio State of old, like when Justin Fields was the quarterback at Ohio State, you'd turn a game on at noon or at 3:30, you'd blink and they'd be up 28-0. You'd be like, oh my God, what just happened? They'd get defensive turnovers, they'd score on special teams, they'd throw a bomb and score in two plays on an offensive drive, and the game was out of hand in a blink of an eye. I'm going to lay the 20 and a half here. I think that's the sharp play. I think Ohio State...
Drew's trying to make some
moves
on me because I'm winning in this.
I am. Now. That's exactly
you're
what I'm
you're
doing.
Really taking some chances. I love it.
I do think that's the sharp play, though, because I think the public will be all over Purdue. They just beat the number three team in the nation. They beat number two Iowa a couple weeks ago. They'd be like, 20 and a half.
Why
crazy.
Go against a team that's hot, that's playing well?
Because the guys in Vegas are a lot smarter than you and I. So we're on opposite sides there again. I think we'll probably be on the same side for this next game. Number one, Georgia at Tennessee in Knoxville in Neyland. 3:30, SEC on CBS. Georgia, a 20-point favorite. Total here is 56, Aaron. Hendon Hooker, this Tennessee offense, it's exciting. They're having fun. Big-time game, a lot of energy up in Knoxville for this matchup. I can't see with Tennessee's lack of depth them really keeping this game close. I think Georgia's going to go in there and take care of business in a big way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm pulling up Tennessee's schedule right now just to see what elite, quote-unquote, defenses they've possibly faced this year, and there really isn't any. I mean, they are about to be in for a rude awakening when they face what this front four and what this front seven looks like. And I do. I trust Georgia's back end. This will be a big challenge for them. I think this is going to answer a lot of questions about how complete is this defense, because this is going to be the best passing attack they will face this season until the SEC championship game if it's Alabama.
Yeah.
Obviously, if A&M finds a way to get in or Auburn, you know, we've seen that kind of play out with Auburn, and A&M can't throw the ball at all. So the score of this football game, if I had to pick a score, it's 42-20.
I
do think Tennessee could possibly score, get a touchdown late, a couple field goals, but still at the end of the day, that's Georgia covering. I think they get challenged early, but I just think what happened last week to Tennessee, the legs are going to wear down. End of the second quarter, you'll see Georgia really start to push on them in the third and fourth, eat up the clock. You know the crazy stat last week? Kentucky had the ball for 46 minutes.
That's insane. That is insane.
And still lost.
Yeah.
I've never seen a game where you held the ball for – I've never even seen a game that a team held the ball for over 40 minutes, yet 46 and still lost. So I think that is going to eventually just beat up a defense that already has no depth at all. Like I said, I think they can maybe score a touchdown here or there, maybe one late, but Georgia still wins. Like I said, 42-20 is my score, so Georgia covers this thing.
Yeah, we're both laying the 20 here. Here's my question, because I believe you just answered it. Georgia's defense has not allowed 14 points in a game yet this season. It's week 11, Aaron. God. Will they let up more than 14 points this weekend? Okay.
I do. You know what, honestly?
Definitively,
and
you're
I
saying
hate
that.
To say this.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but and I want Georgia to cover, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Georgia to be tested for a four-quarter game.
Yeah.
Really
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you.
They haven't been through it.
Yeah.
You and I know it's a muscle.
Clemson, long time ago.
Flex.
Yes.
They haven't had to play four quarters since the first game of the season. Like, when you get to the SEC championship game and you get to the playoffs, I mean, maybe Georgia rolls. I mean, Georgia's by far the best team in the country. Maybe they just kick everyone's butt.
Yeah.
And they beat everyone by double digits. But maybe not. Maybe it's a four-quarter game and Georgia's tied with Alabama or Ohio State or Oklahoma. It's the fourth quarter and there's 5 minutes to go.
Got to dig deep.
You got to dig deep, and they haven't had to do that.
Got to have that experience. No, I mean, the only
I would not be – I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm just saying for fans out there, don't be upset like, oh, my God, what happened? Why is this a four-quarter game? It could be a really good thing for this football in the long term for the rest of the season.
That is fantastic perspective. I would assume that any Georgia fan would rebuke that with, well, Clemson, but that was we. I mean, that's such a long time ago.
Such a long time ago.
And the only thing that they have even had to worry about in the fourth quarter since that game is, like, Kentucky trying to score with 1 second left in the game, or last week where Mizzou tried to score on the 1 yard line for the last three plays of the game. But that ain't,
they've had their feet kicked up midway through the third quarter this season. They've been on the sideline chilling. Yep. Eating sunflower seeds, getting the backups in, just hanging out.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
They have not been stressed. They've been stressed more in practice than they are in any game they've played this season.
100%. 100%. Aaron and I are both on George minus 20, but that is very, very true. Very, very true. So we'll see what happens. Be a fun game to watch, that's for sure. We'll round things out with the 7 p.m. ESPN game. Number 11, Texas A&M in Oxford to play number 15, Ole Miss. This is the College Game Day game. Texas A&M, a 2.5-point road favorite. You know I love a home dog. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss catching 2.5 at home. I think this is a really good opportunity for Lane Kiffin to kind of save face in a big primetime matchup, because he fell flat on it against Alabama in that 330 spot earlier this year. Matt Corral, I know the wide receiving core has been dealing with some injuries. Texas A&M's defense is legit. Texas A&M still trying to figure out if they can make it to the SEC championship. This would be a big roadblock for him. Zach Calzada, your favorite quarterback in the SEC, he's been up and down. Only time he was really up was when they beat Alabama.
He's been up one time. That's been about it.
Okay. So I agree.
I'm a Ole Miss here, man. I'm with you. I don't know if I'm with you because I don't know if you made your pick yet.
I like the points. I want Ole Miss with the 2.5.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss, that offense at home, you know, I know they're a little bit banged up. I think they're getting a little bit healthier on that side. They had one of their top receivers come back in a limited role last week. He should get some more PT this week. Matt Corral is getting healthier. I think there's a game where you're going to really see his legs do their thing. And let's not forget, I mean, Auburn last week, they drove the ball at times. They missed field goals. They missed opportunities in the red zone. And this is a much better offense than Auburn. Plus, they're at home. They only got to deal with the 12th man nonsense. And Zach Calzada, to me, it was a one-hit wonder versus Alabama. That's it. I mean, I'm sorry, but he played one really good game versus Alabama, and that has been all we've seen.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go based on the film. So Ole Miss wins this and pretty much eliminates A&M from any kind of hope of making the SEC championship game.
I'm on the same side. Ole Miss plus 2.5, a home dog, a primetime home dog. This will be a fun game to tune into at 7 p.m. All right, let's get our locks out there, and then I'll let you go get back to the wedding festivities, Mr. Birthday Boy. You picking two? Do you just want one? Are you feeling good? You went 2-0 in your locks last week.
If you want two, I got two. If you want one, if you're a little nervous, I'll go with one.
All right. I'm going back to the well here. Utah has actually been looking really good. Now, they played Stanford last Friday night. I watched the first quarter of that game. Some of the worst football I've ever seen from Stanford, ever, ever. Horrible, horrible game by Stanford. Utah boat raced them. Utah's quarterback, Cameron Rising, actually a really, really good QB. Utah, minus 24 against Arizona. I've faded Arizona in the past. I went 2 weeks in a row against Arizona. I was 1-1, so I'm going back. Laying 24 points against Arizona. I'm taking Utah as my first lock. Aaron, you go ahead.
All right. My first lock, as I'm trying to scroll through some of these games, get a good feel exactly which direction I want to go. So right now, I know you and I talked about this game earlier in the week, and it was a pick 'em game, but it looks like all of a sudden Michigan is getting 1.5 points.
Yeah.
Are you correct?
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Penn State with that 1.5. I think Penn State at home, you know, their quarterback's healthy. Michigan, Harbaugh, big moments. I know he's your favorite quarterback or coach in these type of football games. I do believe you think Michigan's going to win this one.
Yes.
I don't trust Michigan. I think right now Penn State is playing great football. We know what home field advantage has been like this season. It's the season of the fan. So give me Penn State at home with that 1.5.
All right. I love it. One more for me. And you can take one as well, Mr. Murray, for our two locks. I'm going to a pick'em game. South Carolina is taking on Missouri. Give me South Carolina. These boys are fired up. I don't like Mizzou. I don't know if Bazelak's going to go. Is he going to go? You'd probably know from SEC radio. But I like South Carolina. Give me the Gamecocks in the other Columbia, that, of course, being Mizzou. So South Carolina to win.
All right, I'm going to go. You know, I got to give you a little Mountain West special here.
Yes.
This weekend, Nevada travels to San Diego State to face the Aztecs.
Yes.
Aztecs, zero offense. I mean, they can't.
Best punter in the nation
right now.
Best punter in the nation.
The only good thing about San Diego State right now is their punter. Defense is actually pretty darn good. Wolfpack offensively, though, is legit with Carson Strong at quarterback. They're averaging right under 37 points per game.
They're catching
points.
It's
going to be a great battle. Strength for strength. One of the better defenses in the Mountain West versus the premier offense in the Mountain West for the Nevada Wolfpack. I just don't think San Diego State can score. They just they got no juice on that side of the football right now. Their last four games, they've scored 19 points, 20 points, 20 points, 17 points. You're going against an offense that can score a bunch, and Nevada is getting
3 points.
3 points. So give me Nevada in this one.
All right. A little late night special there in the Mountain West, brought to you by Aaron Murray. There are his locks. Penn State plus 1.5 and Nevada plus 3. I'm laying 24 with Utah and taking South Carolina in a pick'em. It's week 11. Dude, that's crazy. Thanksgiving, like 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. What the hell is going on? Time slowed down. We love college football, though. Be sure to check us out on social media at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at Aaron Murray 11, puntandpass.com. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. PrizePicks.com. Cross sport entries. Win 10x your money. Aaron and I gave you our rundown of their slate this weekend. College basketball is back. NBA, NHL, PGA Tour golf, NFL, college football. Simply the best. PrizePicks.com. Use the promo code PUNT. Murray, anything on the way out, bro? Happy birthday.
Thank you, man. Thank you. 31. Okay. Good for you. Man, the year, I tell you, you probably know this better than I do, obviously with two kids, but the year does fly by when you got a little one.
Yes, it
just flies by. Great year, though. Awesome year. Looking forward to another great one this year. And great show. And time for me to go back and drink some more. And party some more. The party's only begun here tonight on a Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Well, have one for me. Tell Miss Sharon I said hello. I miss you guys. And we will talk to you on Monday. See you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.